And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I mean it when I say it. Y'all, I'm talking about this show like we go way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I got to break some news here, so this is interesting. Actually, two pieces of news, one of which I cannot verify. The other one is verified. So Fox News just broke a story, which I'm finding now is only a couple of hours old, saying that a U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drone, if you're not familiar with the Reaper, the MQ-9 Reaper is, you know, like the size of a Cessna. I mean, it's a big drone. It's probably bigger than a Cessna, to be honest. But it's a full-size unmanned aerial vehicle. And this UAS system is armed with Hellfire missiles. And anyway, a Reaper drone, a U.S. Reaper drone was shot down by Houthi rebels in Yemen. By the way, these are Iranian proxies. And it was shot down. They are claiming they shot it down using surface-to-air missiles. And I don't know much more than that. The Houthis, by the way, have been also claiming to be at war with Israel, despite the fact that they are, you know, geographically separated. Like they're down in Yemen, which is, you know, there's Israel, and then you look way on down past Saudi Arabia, you can find, you know, you can find where Yemen is. The Houthi rebels are kind of like Hezbollah is in Lebanon. They're like a nation within a nation. Anyway, I told you the other day that we got to watch for flashpoints. Let's hope this is not a flashpoint. Now, it's an unmanned vehicle, so we didn't lose American lives, but it's still a piece of our hardware, and it absolutely indicates that things are really, really tenuous right now in the Middle East. Meanwhile, and this one is unconfirmed. I don't know how to go anywhere except to tell you what the headline is from one source that is not a mainstream source. So I say that, take it with a grain of salt, is what I'm saying. But there's a post that just came out from a organization called, on Twitter, they're called Honest Reporting. Honest Reporting, and they have a website called honestreporting.com. It's a it's an organization that prides itself on being independent, but Honest Reporting is saying that they have a scoop that AP, Reuters, CNN, and New York Times reporters were embedded with Hamas on October 7th and had advanced notice of the attacks and went with them on the attacks in order to film it and report on it. Now, that's pretty inflammatory. I will tell you, in my personal experience, the reason why I'm not discarding it is because in Baghdad, back in the early parts of the war, one of our OPs, our observation posts in Baghdad, we kept an eye on the Al Jazeera headquarters. Why? Because every time they rushed out the door and got in their vehicles and looked like they were tearing off to go do something, we knew something was up, because Al Jazeera always had advance notice of attacks on U.S. forces. So it was an intel indicator for us if Al Jazeera was on the move. Well, so I don't discount this altogether, but I'll just say breaking news right now is this one site is saying that they have they are aware that major news sites like AP, Reuters, CNN, and New York Times had paid freelance photographers working with Hamas, and that better not be true. Better not be true. In the meantime, true breaking news is we did apparently have an MQ-9 Reaper shot down by Houthi rebels in Yemen. Hey, keep your eyes on the prize, folks. It's getting a little thick over there in the Middle East right now. All right, let's talk about, here's a segue off of that. Anti-Semitism. So number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling this That's Enough of That. We're going to cover this for a few minutes. Don't forget, top of the hour, we'll shift gears and move to the Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. But that's enough of that. I mean, I'm sick to death of seeing, all right, anti-Semitism. What happened to the idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion? Oh, okay. Apparently, you don't contradict anybody if they want to rally against Jews. You have to excuse the graffiti on the wall, people. I'm sorry. Or how about this? It's okay to go ahead and shout from the river to the sea, knowing that what you mean is in between the river and the sea, the Jordan and the Mediterranean, is, oh, by the way, Israel. So from the river to the sea, all that is a call for the extermination of the nation of Israel. And yet, kids are marching on campuses like that is just a jingle from another Taylor Swift song. Well, this happened yesterday. And, you know, it's bound to happen when you have this much passion on the streets. I use the word passion loosely. You know what I mean? That much emotion on the streets. Red State covers the first one I picked up. A 69-year-old Jewish man named Paul Kessler was murdered Sunday when a pro-Hamas agitator attacked him during a demonstration in Thousand Oaks, California. According to eyewitnesses who spoke to Red State on conditions of anonymity due to fears for their family's safety, it appeared that Kessler was targeted by members of the pro-Hamas group who had protested at the same corner the Sunday prior. So apparently there's video of the older gentleman. He's 69 years old. I think he had a Israeli flag, and he was there in support of Jews and of Israel in general, and a Palestinian protester went over and assaulted him, hit him in the head with a bullhorn, knocked him down, and Paul Kessler died. That's bad enough. You look at it and go, it's horrible, but at least it's a single incident, right? We're not seeing mass murder, but it's a single incident, but it's still horrible because it indicates there are factions in the United States that are willing to attack someone simply for being Jewish. But then you find the mainstream media unable to report what it really was. Story here from Daily Wire, headline. Media outlets tie themselves in knots to avoid saying that a Jewish man was killed in a fight with pro-Palestinian protesters. Says that the mainstream media reports are to be believed, he may have just died when he fell on the sidewalk and hit his head. You know, darn the luck, the guy went to a protest and fell on the sidewalk and hit his head. Says the media was rife with headlines that left out the fact that he was involved in a physical altercation with pro-Palestinian protesters when he hit his head. T. Beckett Adams, the program director at the National Journalism Center, shared an NBC headline that read, "Man dies after hitting head during Israel and Palestinian rallies in California." That's what it said. He was attacked by a pro-Palestinian protester, hit in the head with a bullhorn, fell over on the sidewalk, died, and all they can say is, "Man dies after hitting head during Israel and Palestinian rallies." It gets worse. First of all, the medical examiner did classify this as a homicide. Oh, that's real. So homicide is the obvious news angle, and yet NBC's headline totally left it out. The next headline he highlighted came from the New York Times. Jewish man dies after dueling protests in California. That's all it says. It doesn't say he was attacked by a pro-Palestinian protester. ABC News runs with, "Elderly Jewish man dies after confrontation with pro-Palestinian protesters in West." Okay, at least they finally mentioned there was a confrontation. BBC, "Jewish man dies after dispute at a dueling Israel-Palestinian protest." Jewish man, Time magazine, "Jewish man in California dies after confrontation during Israel-Hamas." They're not mentioning he was attacked. And oh, by the way, he didn't rush into a fight. He wasn't over there breaking out a fight. "Come on over here, you Palestinian supporters. I'll show you." Nope. He was on his corner with his flag. And they came to him. And yet they can't do it. Well, that's about enough of that. And then you look at it. Okay, why should the fringe of society feel at all concerned when the leadership of our society is not giving them any reason to be concerned, like the White House? Karine Jean-Pierre, Daily Wire again, Karine Jean-Pierre refuses to condemn anti-Semites for pulling down posters of kidnapped Israelis. So on the one hand, I will say this. It's interesting to me that people are putting up these posters almost like, you know, sticking them to walls. And I'm thinking, folks, there's a better way to do this. But still. So once they're up, though, why would you ever go tear one down? I'm sure you're seeing the videos on social media, people being confronted. They tear down a poster. They think they got it going on. And next thing you know, someone's walking up saying, "Why'd you tear that down? Get away from me. I got a right." No, you don't. Why'd you tear it down? These are posters of kids that have been kidnapped by Hamas thugs and are being held hostage in the middle of the war zone right now. And people are tearing them down. So Karine Jean-Pierre, the glass ceiling breaking press secretary for the Biden administration, was asked about the matter during Tuesday's White House press conference, specifically wanting to know would the White House condemn people for pulling down the posters because the posters sort of form a form of peaceful protest. She couldn't do it. She stammered. She was caught off guard. She goes, this is literally where the quote's written right here is, look, I kind of seen the reporting here and there. I think it was from last week, right? The reporter quickly noted, well, there's been like 30 million videos that have gone around on this. And she couldn't give an answer. After she got significant backlash online, she went back and on her social media post, she condemned the pulling down of posters. I guess she had to think about it first. That's the thing. Y'all, we're talking about Karine Jean-Pierre, who after the Covenant School shooting in Nashville came out in support of transgenders. you can't make this stuff up. But nonetheless, I'm thinking that's about enough of that. But here we are with a White House whose chief spokesperson doesn't know what to do when she's asked about pulling down posters of kids. Just say, yeah, that was wrong. They need to find a better way to express themselves. We disagree with that, and we condemn the idea of lashing out at anyone who is simply peacefully protesting the taking of children as hostages. Look how easy that was. Do you see that? See how I did that, Boomer? It just kind of came right out. Just flowed. All right, take me to a break before I get mad. We're going to come right back. I got a little more on this. Like, did you hear what happened to Rashida Tlaib last night? And then Elizabeth Warren, what's up with her claiming that Islamophobia is the real issue? My gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, I got to tell you about my friends at the Elm Foundation. We did an interview here in studio with them. They are so remarkable. The Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville, is doing amazing work at getting people's lives, you know, back onto a good track. I mean, they're literally working with folks, getting them off the street, providing them with the accountability they need, like walking them through the process of becoming productive and finding the dignity of what it means to have work and to get out there and recognize that self-sufficiency is potentially there. We're not talking about getting them on the government dole and throwing money at things. We're talking about people actually walking with people through life, and that's what they're doing. And listen, it's the year end right now. You may be considering your year end charitable giving. And if you are, I just want to encourage you, check out the Elm Foundation and what they're doing. Go to their website. They're in Huntsville. So it's ElmHSV, as in Huntsville, ELMHSV, ElmHSV.org, the Elm Foundation. Proud to have them as a sponsor of the show and proud to be able to tout them as something you might want to take a look at because, listen, they are literally discerning what people's real needs are and they're getting out there and meeting those needs. Check them out, the Elm Foundation at elmhsv.org. All right, top of the hour, don't forget, we're going to switch gears and go to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Right now, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, and I'm calling it, that's enough of that. That is an absolute enough of that. The anti-Semitism has just gotten out of control. And now, granted, I'm the firm belief that the poll that I read the other day, which I'm trying to think, was it a New York Times poll? I think, but it was a poll that said that 65% of Americans absolutely support Israel, and 23% would be fine if we just didn't say anything. Only 8% believe that we should speak against Israel. But it's not just Israel; it's also anti-Semitism. We're seeing an amazing amount of blatant anti-Semitism. What does that mean? That means people who are racist against Jews. And folks, it's amazing to watch young skulls full of mush on a college campus believing it's okay, having no clue about history, having no clue about the Jewish people whatsoever. You had threats being made at Cornell that had, you know, to be tracked down, and the guy's now arrested for making terrorist threats, death threats against students. 22% of the student body at Cornell is Jewish, by the way. But how about Rashida Tlaib, who is the only member of Congress who's also of Palestinian descent? She was born in Detroit, but her parents were Palestinian. So 22 Democrats joined with Republicans to actually formally censure her last night. And I'm glad to hear it. 22 Democrats who had had enough and said, enough, that's enough of that. So she has been constantly haranguing Israel, screaming and crying over things that have no basis in reality. Israel bombed a hospital. No, they didn't, knucklehead. And you know it, but you won't retract it. But Rashida Tlaib, 22 Democrats, although the only Democrat we have in Congress ourselves is Representative Terry Sewell of Alabama, who did not join in. You would think that Terry Sewell, who is a black woman, who would have an inkling of what it means to see anti or racial anything being promoted by any member of Congress, would be willing to step up and say, not on my watch. I'm for censoring that. But she wouldn't do it. So, Terry Sewell, shame on you. But I'm so glad to hear that we finally, I mean, it doesn't mean she's going to leave Congress. It's a black mark on her record, but it's kind of like getting a poor job evaluation without getting fired. You just keep on moving, right? Elizabeth Warren, where does she go? Okay. I thought Kamala Harris was the most tone deaf last week when she came out with the Office of Anti-Islamophobia or something. I forget what it was. It's like, what are you doing? Well, now you've got Elizabeth Warren mercilessly slammed for posting about Islamophobia the day after the Jewish man was murdered at the protest in California. Because, you know, Pocahontas, she's just, you know, got great timing. Well, article here from Red State says, Warren's timing couldn't be any more insulting and degrading. The left's religion of intersectionality demands that Warren make Muslims the center of the world when it comes to supposed bigotry. Here's the stats, though. According to government statistics, anti-Muslim hate crimes rank just slightly above anti-Catholic hate crimes, with anti-Semitism being nearly six times more prevalent. Six times more prevalent. Lastly, and I'm not going to get to all of it, so I'll just go ahead and stop where I am, but lastly, I'll just say this. Greg Gutfeld made some great points the other day. Daily Caller picked it up. Daily Caller points out that he says, how did we expect this is going to go? He says, libs have been given the green light to woke tactics, allowing for people to target Jews, feeling like they've got no reason not to, because they've been getting the green light from their elder libs, if you will. He says, what you're seeing is what happens when adults leave the room. The Democrats refuse to police this growing malignancy among their younger peers. Instead, they implicitly endorse their woke tactics, whether it's shutting down speech or pushing for censorship, saying Republican speech is violence, but their violence is social justice, employing the race card, everything, basically saying it's okay to riot and loot from 2020 on. Well, that's enough of that, in my opinion. Enough. Look, all of y'all out there, when you see it, call it out. When you see that, call it out. Continue to do what I know y'all do, which is raise your kids to know differently. Teach them history. Make sure they understand what anti-Semitism is. Make sure they know what Kristallnacht was, the night of broken glass in 1939, I believe it was. All of it? Yeah, all of it. That's enough of that. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back, and we're going to the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.